Good morning, Hope Church. My name is Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And it's really good to welcome you to Hope Church online. So pleased that you can join with us from your homes in London and even across the world. Do comment in on the chat. We'd love to hear from you. Do say hi to one another. Do respond to the preach. Put in questions. And we'd love for you to interact in that way. Now, this week, it feels like something's changed, doesn't it? The kids are going back to school. Feels like autumn is in the air. We put our heating on for the first time this week, one evening. Just thinking that something has shifted. The nights are getting slightly darker. So what I want us to do at this kind of change of season, it's almost like a new year when you begin in September. So what I want us to do is to stop for a moment and ask some questions. It's crazy, isn't it? But it's almost 6 months since COVID-19 hit in a major way. And we found ourselves in lockdown and living in the middle of a global pandemic. In this time, so much has changed. I'd never worn a face mask before until recent months. I'd never used the word unprecedented, more than about once a month. I'd never heard of Zoom. I mean, Zoom was what my little boy Levi would say when he was playing with his planes or cars. Zoom, Zoom. I'd never heard of a Zoom call. I never believed that people could go to church in their pajamas. And I never had to queue for the supermarket before. And the truth is, we're still living, aren't we, in so much uncertainty, so much change, and so much unknown. So what I want to do this morning is to stop for a moment and ask ourselves some key questions at this time of history. Some questions that each one of us need to answer. The first question is this: how do I spend my time? In years to come, when your grandchildren ask you, what did you do in the pandemic? It would be a tragedy if all you could do would be to list Netflix shows. There was a cartoon that came out in the US back in April, back at the beginning of the pandemic. And it was a cartoon of President Trump and someone, an advisor, standing next to them. And President Trump says to the advisor, the virus is here, what will we do? And the advisor replies, release the Tiger documentary. The greatest challenge to me personally over this time of COVID-19 is how do I use my time? When I can't see people in the same way, when you can't meet in person, when we can't have large church gatherings, what do I do? And the stark challenge to me is, where is my prayer life in all of this? I want to tell you for a few minutes about a famous British missionary called James O. Fraser. He was a missionary to China in the early 20th century. There's an incredible book you can read about his life called Mountain Rain, which was written by his daughter. James Fraser, as I said, was this missionary in the mountains of China reaching the Lisu people. And one year he recounts that the weather was so bad that he wasn't able to travel through the mountains to see the Lisu people in person. So he said this, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to minister in person to those who are around me, those that I can get to, those that are close by. But the Lisu people, I will pray for them. I will intercede for them and pray for those that I cannot reach. At the end of the season, we will see the spiritual growth of those who are close by and I interacted with, and those who I couldn't see and I prayed for. James L. Fraser found that the people he interceded for experienced dramatically deeper growth than those he met in person. They had a deeper love for God. They had a deeper sense of God's holiness and passion for Jesus. So let me ask you again, how are you spending your time? I'm challenging myself in this to increase my level of prayer and intercession. Remember, prayer is relational. It's talking to my Heavenly Father, to my Abba, to my Daddy. It's spending time with one who loves me, one who's for me, one who delights in me, one who loves to give good gifts to his children when we ask for them, one who acts upon our mumblings and our groanings and our fractured prayers. So first question, let's look in the mirror and ask the question, how am I spending my time? Second question, what is the answer to the brokenness in our world today? In Acts chapter 19, it tells the story of Paul going to the city of Ephesus. He goes to Ephesus, he preaches the gospel, and he sees great breakthrough. Then later in the chapter, there is a riot, and Paul's companions are taken away. There's chaos in the city. Paul's life is in danger. There's confusion everywhere. And in verse 30, Acts 19 and verse 30, Paul's response to the riot and the confusion and everything going on is, in the New King James, it says, "Let me in there." In other words, Paul is saying, don't take me away from the city. Let me go into the city. Let me go into the confusion and the riots and the chaos with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ, so I can proclaim one who heals and one who shapes and unites a city. We are living in a broken and a hurt and a messed up world. So let me ask you, what belief do you have in the power of the gospel? Because I believe that the gospel is the only hope for our fractured, for our messed up world. It's the only hope we have to bring healing, to bring unity, to bring salvation to all who call on the name of Jesus Christ, to bring healing to our city of London, to bring healing to our nation, to bring healing to the world we live in. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have a moment. We have a moment right now in history to bring that gospel, to bring that hope of Jesus Christ. 25th of May, 2020. It'll be a date etched in history. We witnessed the brutal, racist, evil murder of George Floyd by a white police officer. It showed more than anything the evil and injustice in our broken world. Now, some people want to put a sticking plaster over that and just push that issue away. But we must not do that, because we have an answer. We have an answer to the broken, evil, messed up world. And that answer is Jesus Christ. That answer is the gospel. That answer is we are all image bearers of Christ, every tribe and tongue and nation. And Jesus came to die on the cross for each one of us. And in heaven, there will be every tribe and tongue and nation. So when we ask the question, what is the solution to our messed up, evil, fractured world that we see on our TV screens and we see around us? The answer is the gospel. It's Jesus who heals, who unites, and brings unity like no one else. So let's be like Paul and say, let me in there. Let me in there and proclaim Jesus. Third question, where's my focus? Focus is so important in our lives. Focus is a laser, which is focused light that cuts through metal. Here's the thing. There's a tendency today to know everything about that which we can do nothing about, and almost nothing about that which we can do everything about. Let me explain what I mean. You probably know a huge amount about Wuhan, the Wuhan province in China. You probably know a huge amount about Korean cell phone tracking technology. You probably know a huge amount about the global economy race or every football transfer taking place. But let me ask you, do you know your neighbor's name? So often, we give our attention to that which we have no influence over, that which we have no power over, yet it consumes all of our thought life and all of our thinking and all of our time. We're to pay attention to those who are around us, and that is how we will change the world. We're to focus on helping our neighbors. We're to focus on our work colleagues, on our friends and family, on those in the Hope Church family, on the people that God brings across your path as you walk down the street, giving people your time, which is your most valuable commodity. Very few people will be given the cultural influence and power to actually shape history. But all of us have unlimited opportunities to shape the world around us. Let your focus be on those around you. What beautiful, what kind act can you do today to someone around you? Pick up the phone, send a message, send some flowers, write a letter, give someone a financial gift, cook someone a meal. Mother Teresa said this, live doing the small things with great love. Fourth question, what about when everything doesn't make sense? In this time of COVID-19 in lockdown, it's provoked a lot of questions. A lot of scratching of heads. Why has this happened? Did God cause the pandemic? Did he allow the pandemic? Why so much suffering? Why so many people died? Why have so many people lost their jobs? So many questions. And it has challenged me to live with uncertainty and questions. And let me tell you, that is a good thing. Because life is full of questions, and so is Christianity. Even Jesus, when he was alive, when he hung upon the cross, he asks the Lord why his prayers haven't been answered. Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, things won't always make sense. Life is tough. Life is difficult. The Bible says each day has plenty of troubles. Jesus himself in John 16 verse 33 says, you will have troubles. There won't always be an easy answer to the events in our world or the events in our personal life. And you know what? That's okay. In the Bible, there are long periods of time where God's people are waiting and there are no answers. The Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years before God spoke. Think of the questions, think of the doubts, think of the uncertainty that that generation upon generation lived with. All of us will have seasons, will have periods in our life when things seem unsure, uncertainty, when God seems absent, when he seems quiet in our lives. Eugene Peterson, who spent 7.5 years working on his paraphrased translation of the Bible called The Message, said this: "The story in which God does his saving work arises among a people whose primary experience of God is his absence." The question screams out, why? 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 Where is God when things don't make sense? Where is God when my head is buzzing with questions and I don't have all the answers? Let me give you an illustration which I hope will help. I've got 3 kids, as most of you will know, and each of them, Grace, Amelia and Levi, have helped to ride a bike. And in the early days of riding a bike, there's stabilizers and they go whizzing around, no worries. Then there's a stage where the stabilizers are off, but you're next to them and you're holding on to them and they're cycling, but you're running to keep up with them. But I remember a particularly challenging time getting Levi, my son, to balance and to ride a bike on his own. And it went something like this. You know, we've done the stabilizers, we've done that kind of side-by-side thing, but it just wasn't working for him to cycle on his own. You know, I was trying to get him to let go, but it was ending up with him like a 45 degree angle and me holding on to him. And Levi's like, no, hold on, hold on, don't let go, hold on, hold on. I then tried something a bit different and remembered something that worked with the girls, which was to stand behind him and he would cycle, but I would have my hand on his seat. I placed my hand on his seat and he would cycle, but my hand was on his seat, so he couldn't see me. He could just about be where he maybe, but he couldn't see me. And Levi hated this arrangement at first because it didn't feel safe to me. He couldn't see me. I wasn't to his right, to his left. He couldn't see me. I was behind him. There was a hand on his seat, but he couldn't see me. It felt unsafe, unsupported. It wasn't a comfortable arrangement for him. A few times he ended up with him falling and scraping his leg and some bruises, and he was crying because he couldn't see me, and I wasn't holding on. Daddy, you're not holding on. But we persevered with this. We persevered with this. I wanted him to ride his bike. I wanted him to ride his bike without my help. And gradually it seemed it worked. And gradually I would start with my hand on his seat and then I would take it off and be running behind him, but have taken off my hand. He was doing it on his own. And then one time I started for about 5 paces and then stopped and off he went. He didn't realize that I wasn't running with him and he was off and away riding his bike on his own. I think that's a helpful picture for the times when God takes the stabilizers away and says, I'm not always going to be right next to you. I'm not always going to be answering your every cry or your every plea. Why? Because I want you to deepen your relationship with me. I want you to grow in maturity. You see, those times of unanswered prayer, those times of silence, those times when the questions just hang, God is deepening our relationship with him, our trust with him. He's not abandoning us. He wants us to grow. And I believe this season that we've been in, many of us have struggled. Many of us have had questions. Many of us have found it difficult. But you know what? It's a season where God is maturing many of you and growing many of you. Nikki Gumbel, who pioneered the Alpha Course, said this: "This is a sign of Christian maturity. When we continue to believe in God's love, even when we don't see it or feel it. As we believe in the sun, even when it's not shining, we continue to believe in God's love, even in times of darkness and when we don't feel His love. God is there. He's with us in these uncertain times. There are questions. There are worries that you will have. There is anxiety that you will have. Uncertainty about the future. Things that don't make sense. But God is deepening our faith and deepening our maturity and deepening our trust in Him. Final question I want us to ask. Are we going to live by fear or by faith? There is a choice that every single one of us have to make. Are we going to be a people of fear or a people of faith? In the last major global pandemic, the Spanish flu, that the Christians were documented as the ones who went to the cities where the disease was worse. They stayed in the cities. They went to the issue. Why? Because they were people of faith and they wanted to make a difference with the good news of Jesus Christ. Were they fearful? Yes. But they took a step of faith. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's pushing on even when we are fearful. In this season that we are in, in these challenging times that we are living in, I want to ask each one of us, are we going to be a people of fear or a people of faith? Are we going to keep giving what we can, loving those around us, sharing in hospitality, thinking the best of one another, believing God that all things are possible? Personally, what steps of faith are you going to take in these coming days, in these coming weeks? As a church, we're committed to being full of faith at this time. Full of faith and not fear. It was wonderful, the special offering that we had back in July. We had a goal of £20,000. We smashed that because they are people of faith. We gave £26,000. Incredible generosity that says, Hope Church, you're a people of faith and not of fear. In a time of economic uncertainty, in a time when people are worried about their jobs, there's the church giving generously to make change happen. And let me tell you about one piece of news, one update, one thing, whereas the church, we are believing in faith and not fear. We've identified a building in Stratford that we are pushing the door on to be a location where we can meet on Sundays and throughout the week. A place where we can proclaim the gospel and serve the local community. We are pushing on in faith. There are many obstacles and boundaries to overcome, but we've started a process that in faith we believe will lead to a building that Hope Church can call their own in the heart of Stratford. So let's at this time not be fearful and drawing back, but full of faith and pushing forward. Let me conclude. Jesus is on the throne. In these crazy times that we are living on, Jesus is on the throne. And I want to respond to God's love and grace for me with my life and my all. Which is why I felt prompted to preach this message and ask these questions. For each one of us to stop, to take a moment and ask these five questions. How do I spend my time? What is the answer to the brokenness in this world? It's the gospel. It's Jesus. Where is my focus? What about when everything doesn't make sense? And will I live in faith or in fear? Let me pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. Thank you, the Bible says you never leave us or forsake us. You're with us in a pandemic. You're with us in lockdown. You're with us in trials and challenges and uncertainty. Help me, Lord Jesus, to know how best to spend my time. May I be challenged afresh to spend time in prayer. Help me, Lord Jesus, to focus on those around me and make a difference in those lives that God, that you have placed around me. Help me, Lord, to live by faith and not fear. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the hope of the world. You, Lord Jesus, are the one who can heal this broken world, who can give hope to this broken world, and who can unite this broken world. No one or nothing else can do that. So Jesus, help me, help each one of us to stop, to answer these questions, and to go and make a difference in the places that you have planted us for the furthering of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.